Hi, welcome to More Than a Song. Our show's focus is on West Texas music singers and songwriters, off stage and on the air. I'm your host, Kerry Banks, with producer Chuck Luck. Today, we'll be talking with Jerry Serrano. Welcome to More Than a Song.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
How did you get started playing music?
One of my first recollections regarding music was sitting in church playing the air piano to the songs during the Mass. And so I always had an inclination, a desire to want to learn how to play music. First grade, I got one of those little one octave little keyboards for Christmas and learned how to play by ear, listening to the radio and stuff like that. I always wanted a real piano and piano lessons. My parents couldn't afford it, so I had to make do with a little keyboard for a long time.
How long did you live in Plainview?
I was born in 81 and I left in 2000.
So you went to junior high and high school, and I assume that you played in the marching band, right?
That's right. Ash, sixth grades, a seventh grade cornato, eighth grade a staccato. At the time, sixth, seventh, and eighth was a different school. 9 to 12 at the high school, did the marching band, did the jazz band, solo and ensemble. I played trumpet in jazz band and euphonium in the concert band.
When did you start playing the piano?
I didn't really get a piano until my senior year in high school, and I found one on the Thrifty Nickel one ads for something like $50. It was an old beat up upright piano, and I kind of started trying to figure things out on the piano then.
Did you ever have any piano lessons?
My senior year, when I did get that piano, I signed up for lessons through Wayland in Plainview. They taught me a little bit about coordination and key signatures and that type of thing. From the sixth grade on, I was taught how to read music through band.
Along the line there somewhere, you picked up the guitar.
In the eighth grade, I got a guitar for Christmas. One of those $40 pawn shop electric guitars. I still have, by the way, and learned how to play from Nirvana to Bossa Nova.
You're left-handed. Did you have any trouble finding a teacher that could teach you?
I just looked at Guitar World magazines, and if there was a music video or a live performance video, I would look at their fingers to see kind of what they were doing. Just kind of learned that way. That was before we had internet. There was Mel Bay, those Mel Bay books. So we had an old, it's not there anymore, Ziegler's, that was band instruments and guitars. And I would look at some guitar books that they had in there. I didn't ever really see anything regarding power chords and that kind of thing. It was more like bar chords and open chords. That kind of organic approach to discovery of how to play some of this stuff.
You must have had a lot of different influences musically. What were some of your influences?
Louis Armstrong is a big one. Nirvana, The Cure, Soundgarden, all those grunge bands of the 90s, Alice in Chains. I remember watching a movie one time. I don't remember the name of the movie, but I really liked the soundtrack of the movie. In a magazine, I found a description of the movie, and it said, great bossa nova music. So then I was like, ding, that's what that style is called that I'd never heard before. So then I would go to the music store and try to find anything that said bossa nova, and that's kind of how I found Joe Beam's album, Gets Gilberto, with Joe Beam. Learned all those songs.
Their famous hit song, Girl from Ipanema, every jazz guitar player has to learn that song.
Oh, yeah, right? That's a classic.
What are some of the mentors along the way?
One of my biggest first mentors in kind of learning music and trumpet was a band director named Willis Giddens, Mr. Giddens. He was my eighth grade director, and he kind of saw that drive in me to try to figure all this stuff out and really aspire to improve my musicianship. He would give me things that he would have from time to time. He gave me my first Miles Davis album, which was The Birth of the Cool. I was in high school already, but he would come and help out with a band. He had another record, the Sketches of Spain album, that he gave me one year.
Along this time, I'm assuming you kind of caught the bug to songwrite as well.
Going back to the first grade and that one octave keyboard, I was making up little melodies before I really knew what I was doing. In the sixth grade, when I was learning music notation, I would transcribe little theme songs and stuff that was popular at the time. Also, I would start notating melodies that I was writing in my head that I thought were neat, but I didn't know quite what to do with yet. from an early age, I was always coming up with things that I wanted to release.
Has your family always been supportive of your music?
Well, imagine being a sixth grader and trying to practice trumpet all the time. Sometimes your sisters might not like that so much. Like, take a break. We're trying to watch a movie and keep it down. But they have always been really supportive. Actually, at those times, even I would play my trumpet into the bed to try to keep the volume so they could still watch their movie and I could still practice. Yeah, my parents have always been supportive. My dad played in band, so he had an old, which I have now, an old trombone from when he was in band, and I would make sound effects on it. But then as I got in band and was learning some of this stuff, I would learn how to play it. His love of music kind of came onto me as well.
After Plainview, you moved to Lubbock to go to school at Texas Tech University.
That's right. Played in the Goin' Band with Keith Bearden. Played under the jazz bands under Alan Shin and many others. There were three big bands at the time, and I was in all three of them. Jazz combos, because I loved music. I actually probably have way more ensemble credits than was needed, because I also played in the Celtic Ensemble. Chris Smith and Angela Mariani and Laura Felton at the time, we would all sit around a table and play Irish songs together.
Jerry, in the next segment, we're going to be talking about your Alma Quartet Solitude CD. Let's hear a song from that called Open Your Heart.
I'll stay here with you, take you out of the cold. Do it all to make things appear, you'll never fear with me. I am through searching for the only one. While I call my own, I know I won't regret it. Things will never be the same for you. If you open your heart, give to everyone. Oh, dance like you won't have a chance. Live your life, don't give fear a chance. Otherwise, you will start to crumble. But hear this one thing, don't give up on love. Don't stop playing those songs you love. You won't regret it for the rest of your life.
Continue our conversation with Jerry Serrano on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. We're speaking with Jerry Serrano. You got all this different training and all these different styles of music. Then you started putting together your own bands.
When I got my first guitar, I was starting a band about a week after. We were called Lithium, which is a title of a Nirvana song. So we played all these Nirvana covers and Marilyn Manson stuff that was big in the 90s. That band broke up. We went our separate ways, but then some of those same guys later in high school would perform with me under the name Jive. Just Jive with an exclamation point. It was a 9-piece. It's like a small big bands. At the time, there was a lot of music from Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and Cherry Poppin' Daddies. And so we were trying to like have that kind of small group sound, but with a horn section. I started to write for that ensemble, notated horn parts, you know, the chords and the melodies with the song.
Instrumental music mostly, right?
Some, but it started to transition into songs with lyrics, yeah.
You also had some country influences.
I didn't ever really listen to country much growing up. I was more of a rock and jazz guy. When I moved to tech in 2000, I was hearing stuff. It wasn't your hit Nashville type of sounding country, which wasn't really something that I was interested in. It was that kind of West Texas rootsy rock and roll mixed with a little bit of twang sound. And when I would listen to them speak about their influences, they would mention Joe Ely or Terry Allen or even Hank Williams. Those guys I love. It's just some of the other stuff I wasn't so fond of.
Describe your songwriting.
It comes from different places, depending on if I'm writing on piano or if I'm at the guitar. Sometimes I'm just driving. Those long road trips, I just like to drive with the sound of the road, the of the highway, through that kind of sound. Sometimes songs will jump out at me. Occasionally it'll be a personal experience, but a lot of times it's something that I think is a good story, something that I think could really go somewhere.
Probably one of the most well-known and respected groups that you have created here in West Texas is the Alma Quartet.
There was a jazz jam session at Clouseau's every Tuesday night. Through the jazz jam session, I met Eduardo Alcayaga, Sean Frankhauser, Royce Chambers, Tanner Jacobson on the drums at that time, and various people in the community would come and go. And I met some people who were opening up the Gaslight. The Gaslight was in the planning stages, and they came to the jazz jam and said they really liked what I was doing, and they would want me to perform at his place when they opened. We played Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays at Gaslight for about a year and a half. It was just mainly instrumental music. I was doing trumpet and guitar, but I wasn't singing anything. Toward the end of that time there, I started to feel that urge to want to sing. Like, would it be okay if I sang this song, guys? And they would be, yeah, man, go for it. I never had any voice lessons. I think it was in high school when I first heard Frank Sinatra. His approach to the jazz standards is something that was a really big influence when I was starting to try to sing them myself. The songs that we already played at the time, I would find the lyrics for them and then try to sing them that way.
During all this time, you're playing music, you're writing music, you're recording music, you're also teaching music.
I teach music at South Plains College. I teach voice, piano, and songwriting. I would see kids growing up that hated their piano and they dreaded going to piano lessons. And it made me like angry at the time because I wanted piano lessons, or they had a piano that nobody played. And that really bothered me too. I figured it out somewhat.
You have been a big influence around the West Texas area in so many ways through your music, and including the Blue Light Songwriting Contest and Songwriter Showcase every Monday night.
I believe it started in 2009. I'd heard about the songwriter competition through various postings around, but I was always a little shy about going because I wasn't really, at the time, even more so, not country related at all. It was around 2014 that I started playing in a country band. I wanted to write in the style. I started to, and then the singer said, go ahead and sing that song on our next thing, and it kind of evolved from there. I was just hired on to be a keyboard player, who then started performing those songs I would write with that band and go to the songwriter night that was happening at the time.
You know, one of my favorite songs that you've recorded is a tune called Dig Your Grave. Where did that idea come from?
Well, I think if you were going to really go back, my parents both are involved with law enforcement. My mom was a police officer and my dad worked at the county jail when I was growing up. Now he's a correctional officer and my mom is a municipal court judge. So they're both really involved with law enforcement. When I was growing up, it was always these true crime shows and cops. And I would always want to watch The Simpsons, but I couldn't because it was the same time as Cops. So that was a big family thing, is watching Cops. And no, I wouldn't do it that way and that type of thing. And true crime has always been like part of my life. So writing about a love affair gone wrong, I think, is kind of the gist of the story of this song.
It's got a very bluesy feel to it. Was that intentional?
Yeah. So one of my big bluesy influences would be Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, all that stuff from the Delta. I really love that kind of groove, the way things feel.
Dig Your Grave featured on the Lubbock Music Now 2020 CD. Let's listen to that.
You dug your grave, I made my bed, say what you must instead. I won't feel for you. It all began with an innocent light.
Continue our conversation with Jerry Serrano on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is musician, songwriter, singer, Jerry Serrano. Jerry, tell us about the exciting thing going on at the Blue Light and especially the songwriting competition.
Songwriter Night, which is every Monday at the Blue Light. I started that in January of 2016, but I started attending as a songwriter myself about 2014. One of the things I love about the place is it's an originals only all night. There's no other place like it in town. It's solely dedicated to the art of the song. The people that come there on Mondays know that and respect that.
How would a person get involved with that on Monday nights?
That's what Monday nights are all about. From young people to veterans of all ages, anybody who writes songs is welcome to attend. It has to be something that is personally performed, whether if you're singing, someone can accompany you, but as long as everything is live, that's the one rule.
Do you get one song or two songs? What's the criteria?
Depending on how full the sign-up list is, sometimes you might have four, sometimes you might have three, sometimes you might have five, but it's usually at least three.
We see people coming from all over the state to be here on a Monday night.
That's right. One of my really good friends, Jim Dixon, he was one of the first regulars that I saw quite a bit when I first started going. He would drive from Hobbs every Monday just to play Songwriter Night. And going into the annual competition that we have every fall, we have people from as far away as Boston, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and all over Texas, of course. But Boston, I think, might be the farthest reach for someone whose main interest was performing at the songwriting competition.
Well, that's really done so much to promote Lubbock music, West Texas music. What do you see going on in the West Texas music scene these days? What's your assessment of it?
I wish there were more places that cultivated original music. Right now, there are a lot of restaurants that have solo acoustic performers, but not as many bands, I feel. I remember when I moved here in 2000, if you went down Buddy Holly Avenue, there was, well, of course, there was Blue Light, but there was also Clouseau's, Sub City Brewery, The Red Door, Bleachers, and they all had a different band playing live music. I kind of miss that. I feel like a lot of places are more DJ-oriented, or they don't have music as often as they used to.
What do you see the scene becoming in the next few years?
I would like to see it moving in a positive way. I think that the expansion of Luca with the Plaza and the Charles Adams studio projects, so the stage there, has really been a wonderful thing with having music and performers and dancers and anybody who is an artist perform.
When you go in the studio with an original song, do you choose the musicians? Do you have the arrangement already in your head? Or do you sort of put it together once you're in there?
I have an idea of where I want it to go. I like to go into the studio with a beat per minute, exactly the tempo, and a chart of the tune. I have a set layout, but then I'm free to change once we're in there. I just like to be efficient about it, you know. I always tell my music students that the recording studio's the most expensive place to realize you can't play your own song.
Yeah. You have some more great songs in the work, I hear.
Yes, I've been writing quite a bit over the years since my last record was in 2017, and I started recording in the spring of 2020, right before everything shut down. So that kind of shut down my recording as well, because I didn't have any gigs all of a sudden. It took me a few years to kind of get back from that. Now I'm in a place where I have time and I have the means.
Jerry, that is such a beautiful guitar you have here in the studio.
Thank you very much. It's a guitar built right here in Lubbock by a builder named Tatum Ruthart of Tatum Handcrafted Guitars. It was a gift from the Blue Light, part of the songwriter competition. The prize is one of these guitars. It's a different design every year. I won the competition in 2015, and that was the year before they brought him on as a sponsor for this competition. So I kind of like teased him. And what about the retroactive prizes or something like that every year? And I was about to announce the winner that year, and the owner, Dustin Six, came up. He was carrying two guitar cases, interrupted me and said, "Hold on, I'm going to have to interrupt you here." And he gave a spiel about, at the time, it was about 3 years that I'd been doing it, and handed me this beautiful guitar that I love and play every day.
We would like to have you perform live here on More Than a Song. I love to hear your jazzy bossa nova style songs. Would you play one of those for us?
The one that I'm going to play is called I Remember. You asked me earlier if I spoke Portuguese. I can say obrigado, which is thank you, but that's all I got. A lot of the bossa nova style and in Portuguese that I sing, I learned from the records, trying to sing what the words meant and trying to use the pronunciations that this artists use from those recordings. And I met the professor of Portuguese at Tech in the early 2000s, and he would help me a lot with some of those pronunciations. In learning bossa nova music, I also started to write bossa nova music. And the song I Remember in Portuguese, it's called Ainda Lembro. It's about reflection on past relationship and coming to terms with realizing why it had to end and feeling at peace with that.
Years seem to go by so fast. It's hard to find things that last. But when I saw you leave, the pain never end, like a rolling thunder play. The truth comes out the same, but I remember you, and I always will. And you wanted so much then, it wasn't enough when I let you down again. So now I finally understand why you made that call. But I remember you, and I always will. wanted so much then, it wasn't enough when I let you down again. So now I finally understand why you made a call, but I remember you, and I always will, always will. You said be limbered.
Jerry, thank you for being part of More Than a Song. We appreciate you coming in and sharing your music, and we especially appreciate all you do for Lubbock music and musicians.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to More Than a Song. I'm your host, Kerry Banks. The show was produced by Chuck Luck. Our guest today was Jerry Serrano. Join us next Friday morning for More Than a Song at 10:30 on 89.1. For more information on More Than a Song, visit ttupublicmedia.org.